Welcome into Hockman, Crowder, and Solana on this Wednesday. Little peek behind the curtain. That is the second time I said the exact same line in the last 2 minutes. I thought we were starting, and then the mics weren't on. So here we are. It's Wednesday, and a great start. Appel in for Hawk and Solana. Crowder is here. Dan Day is here. Jimmy is here as well. We got a great show. Zach Gelb will join us at 2:30. We'll talk everything with him. We'll talk to Cam Wolf of NFL Network. We'll talk some Dolphins, and we'll talk some general NFL storylines with Cam. And then in the 4 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by Marlins insider for FanDuel Sports Network, Craig Mish. Talk some trade deadline with him and all things going on with the Marlins. Since we last spoke, Crowder, the Dolphins have another season-ending injury in their secondary. Darth Cater out for the year. Mm-hmm. I think it was on Monday where I said, well, we don't really know by now. Usually we know pretty soon whether or not it's going to be a season-ending injury. Well, wrong again, Josh. Kader Kohou out for the year. Second defensive back that has been lost for the year for the Dolphins. We don't know the extent of Ashton Davis's injury yet. And it's only July 30th. And there are a whole lot of question marks in that secondary for the Dolphins a week and a half into training camp.
That front seven looks good, Josh. No, man. Even when Artie Burns was healthy and when Kader Kohou was healthy, I kept saying we need to go get a vet. We need to trade. We need to acquire some kind of veteran cornerback. Now, Chris Greer, get on the phone. Like, I don't want you to say you're getting a guy that's a journeyman, 7 years, six teams. We have to go get a number one cornerback. We have to, if you really want to compete this season.
Yeah, so they went and brought in Jack Jones. They have Mike Hilton, who's going to play in the slot. But to your point, after that, you're still dealing with the same cast of characters that like might be fine in a limited role. But if you're going into the season with Storm Duck as your starting cornerback, as one of them, probably not great. And we know that they had been in touch with Rasul Douglas. There were reports that Douglas had an offer on the table from the Dolphins. He obviously hasn't accepted it yet. I wonder if the Dolphins go back to Rasul Douglas and make that offer a little more enticing to him. The Bills also just lost, it looks like, their first round pick, who was a corner, so they might be interested in kicking the tires on a guy like Rasul Douglas, who used to play there as well. So the options here on July 30th heading into August and the first preseason game next week, there aren't a lot of them, right? Like, they're not going to get a huge amount of quality there. Just guys who have some experience in the league. And, you know, I'm not someone who is banging on the table for Chris Greer to lose his job. I'm not that guy. I know there are plenty in this market who are. But this is one of those things, much like the offensive line a couple of years ago when he said, oh, you guys are more worried about this than I am. Everybody could see that the secondary was thin, especially at corner. And now the season hasn't even started yet. They haven't played a single preseason game. And it's probably, look, I haven't looked at 1 through 4 at corner on every team in the NFL, but I would imagine this group, respectfully, is probably in the bottom 3 or 4 as far as position groups at cornerback in the league.
I'm just looking. The Patriots, Stephon Diggs, the Bills, you know, they have a group of receivers, but the Jets, Garrett Wilson, Panthers, Xavier Leggett, the Browns with Jerry Jeudy, the Falcons with Drake London, the Ravens, they Flowers and them boys. Like, no one's lining up against Storm Duck and is scared to throw that way. We even talked to, like, Cam Smith when Cam Smith got in the game. We talked to somebody earlier in the week where they were like, yeah, Cam Smith got in the game last year, and the team just started picking on him and went back to back to back to back at him. Like, that's what's going to happen. I think the pass rush, we've talked about that. I think if Chubb and Jalen Phillips and Chop Robinson's healthy, throw Sealer in there, you know, throw the young boy in there, Grant, the rookie. Like, I think we can get a pass rush. The linebackers can bang. This is a passing league. If this was 1998, our front seven can hold it down. The quarterbacks are throwing the ball 40 times a game. And now you have Storm Duck back there, Cam Smith, you know, Jack Johnson. Those names don't put fear in my heart. I know they're not putting fear in Stephon Diggs' heart.
I don't know if Stefon Diggs is putting fear into my heart at this point in his career, to be honest with you. Because I wanted to ask Gelb and I wanted to ask Cam Wolf about this because the Patriots are getting a lot of hype going into this season. Mike Vrabel, obviously, back there, now the head coach. Everybody's expecting Drake May to make a leap this year. They did add Stefon Diggs. They're a little better at the skill position than last year. But I've got to see it from New England before I believe it. And Stefon Diggs hasn't exactly – I know he was hurt last year early on, but that's a pretty major injury he's coming off of, and he's not any younger. So I don't know what that's going to look like for New England. But again, that – to your point, regardless of whether Stefon Diggs is striking fear into my heart, he's going to line up across Jack Jones or across Storm Duck or across Storm Duck.
And Drake May,
he's 23 again, and he's
going to look over there and smile. We got it. And they're going to do a little hand signal. I've been a part of those games. You do a little hand signal. We got us somebody.
They might need your boy Jason Allen to come out of retirement.
No, we don't need Jason Allen. We didn't need Jason Allen at 21. Now we need him at 31, 38, whatever he is. We don't need him. I've been a part of that when you just know you can beat a corner. And like the Brady, you know, Randy Moss, you're not saying Drake May and Stefon Diggs are going to have a 50-28 year, whatever Brady and Moss did that year. But football is very complicated until it's funny. Storm Duck, his last name's Duck. We used to call him the Duck. They found the Duck. So like when I told a story when I'm covering Tony Gonzalez or I'm covering Antonio Gates back in the day, I was the Duck. If Phillip Rivers looked and knew and figured out pre-snap that I was on Antonio Gates man-to-man, I'm the Duck. Go after him. This dude's a Hall of Famer. He's just a big dude that talks a lot of crap and runs around with his stomach out. I'm throwing at me. If I'm Phillip Rivers, when it was Matt Ryan and Tony Gonzalez, they found the Duck. I was the Duck. I wasn't always the Duck, but I became the Duck sometimes. Storm Duck might be the Duck, and it's in his name, and I don't like it.
Bad omens for Storm Duck as it pertains to this. Earlier this week, I made a Corey LeKerker reference, and you talking about Brady and Moss, that 50-28 year, it made me think of Cameron Worrell. And so I'm very proud to make that 1-15 reference after LeKerker earlier this week.
I was on with Cameron Worrell, Ronaldo Hill. Jason Allen was on that team. Like, I was there. Josh, I lived it. You're making it punchlines. I live this every day.
It is a punchline.
Hey, we gonna win this week? Yeah, we got it, man. You know, we're going to bounce back. We ain't beating no damn body. We terrible as hell.
It's funny. I remember because every now and again, the clip of the Camarillo touchdown will spread around social media. And there's the quote from Jason Taylor afterwards. He goes, yeah, I knew we weren't going to go 0-16. I knew we were going to get one. We kept playing tight. We kept playing tight every week. We were going to get one of these days. Doesn't sound like what you're saying right now. It seemed like there was maybe some thought you were going to go 0-16.
1-12. That was the 13th game. We were 0-12. And then they got their 1-12. And this one, some butt wipes want to run around with the Dolphin flag and plant it in the middle of the field. Get your ass in the locker room, Derek Pope. You half the reason we over 12. Get in the locker room. It was funny. You bring up JT. After that Ravens game at home, I remember walking out the field and seeing the guys running around and people are crying. And I looked over at JT, and JT still just shook his head and was like, the same thought. Bro, we 1-12. Why are these people so excited? We didn't go 0-16. That's our standard now? Come on, bro.
Wayne Huizenga was crying.
Wayne, I don't think Wayne knew what was going on.
R.I.P.
I think Wayne got scared by the crowd yelling. He started crying out of fear. What's going on?
last night, by the way, I went and saw Fantastic Four. Marvel's doing a nice job here. Their last couple of movies with Thunderbolts and now Fantastic Four, but that's not why I bring it up. Crowder, when's the last time, and I want to get this from all three of you, when's the last time you went to a movie theater? Was it the time in Canton when you went for a nap, or have you been to a movie theater since?
No, we were in Orlando recently, and I saw Fantastic Four with my wife and son when my daughter was at a basketball camp. Fantastic Four is a great movie. The new one, great movie.
Yeah. Well, did your seats have recliners at the theater?
No. No recliners.
Dan Day and Jimmy, last time you went to a movie theater without recliners?
Man, I would say like maybe the 90s, 2000s.
Wow.
Yeah, it didn't, at that time it didn't have recliners.
It's a pretty like new thing. That long? Okay.
No. I've recently gone to the movie theaters. I'm talking about the last time I went to a movie theater
without recliners, right?
Without recliners, it's been a long time.
Dan?
Jimmy, you just put out a 35-year period.
That's what I'm saying.
You're not dedicating yourself to anything. The 90s or the 2000s? That's 35 years, Jimbo.
Went and saw the Titanic. There were no recliners in the movie theater.
Leo was great, though, in it. I'm going to say the last time there were not recliners would have been like 2015, something like that. There weren't recliners.
Yeah, so I'm pretty snobby when it comes to going to the movies. Like at this point, I've gotten too used to the recliners that if it doesn't have it in the theater, I'm not going. Well, last night, my pregnant wife and I got, I don't want to say roped into going, but we were invited to go see Fantastic Four with a couple of friends. Like, oh, it's this theater, go book it, and here are our seats, here's where we're going to be. We get there, no recliners, pregnant wife, not very happy about it. And it's like a two-hour movie. I find the movie theater experience without recliners now, after being used to them, to be miserable. And on top of that, in our packed theater, people clapped at the end of the movie, applauded the movie. And I can't even begin to tell you how absolutely, positively out I am on applause at the end of a movie. The actors don't hear you. You're just clapping at a screen. What's like, you're going to a play. Everybody comes out. They do the curtain call. They take a bow, you know, all that stuff. They're able to acknowledge it. Obviously, go to a sporting event. There's people there. You hear your applause, can react to it. You're clapping at a screen. What are we doing? Nobody can hear you. I'm out on clapping at the end of a movie.
I'm with you. And I watched Fantastic Four, but last week they clapped too, which is the dumbest thing in the whole world.
What are we doing?
I'm trying to clean up my Steak and Shake that I snuck in, and I don't want them to see the boxes under my seat, and they're over here clapping. It's the same way. I feel that way about airplanes. When you land and they clap, oh, the pilot's doing his damn job. Yeah, here you go, big man. Do you clap at Chick-fil-A when your sandwich is good? Like, I don't get the clapping. You know what? It's selfish. It's for them, Josh.
Yeah.
It's for them. Yeah, okay. Look at me. I really enjoyed the movie. It's for the clapper. Because you really don't, like you're saying, did the Rock Man or did the Fireball Man, they didn't hear that.
If you want to talk about how you enjoyed the movie, just talk about it with your friends afterwards when you're walking to the car. You don't need to show.
Yeah.
Wow, the baby.
Yeah.
Jimmy seems like he's a clapper at the end of movies.
I need to see a little more out of this baby. He ain't do much.
Depends how good the movie is. If it's really good, then I might clap. But
Jimmy, who are you clapping to? You're clapping to the lady that took your ticket?
No. Only if it's really good. If it's like whatever, then I'm not gonna clap.
But even if it's good, they can't hear you. It's a screen. You're clapping at a screen.
That's true.
Jimmy, who? What? You're making noise for who?
I don't know. Everyone's clapping. So I was like, you know what? Let me just clap too.
Now, I will say, there's an exception to this, and there's an exception to clapping at the end of a flight. The exception at the movie is when it's like in the actual movie and you're reacting to something. Like, I'll never forget, one of my favorite movie theater experiences ever was Avengers Endgame. And spoiler alert, when everybody comes back through the portals, the reaction in the theater was unbelievable, right? Incredible.
On a plane.
Yeah, on a plane, a little bumpy ride, a little turbulence. You're not sure what's going to happen, a little wobbly. You land safely. All right, I'm okay with a scattered clap. Otherwise, out. Be silent during the movie and talk about it after. On a plane, it lands, You wait till everybody gets up, and you walk off the plane. Maybe say thank you to the flight attendants. Out of here with the applause.
Do you clap for yourself if you drive through the rain? No, good job, Josh. Park. Way to go, Big Josh. You made it home.
I might thunderstorm.
Good job, J.A. No, man. Do your damn job, pilot boy. Get up there and fly that plane.
You should say that next time you fly.
I'm going to call him pilot boy.
Yep. Yep.
Great job, pilot boy.
Maybe they'll give you the little wings and you can wear them off the plane.
I don't want them damn wings.
Then you call a pilot pilot boy, they'll start swinging on you if you're on Frontier or Spirit, so be careful.
So, great point. Or Silver Airways.
Oh, I've never done Silver.
Oh, man, that Frontier, you got to bring your own chair. You got to bring your own fold-out chair on Frontier.
Frontier is literally Con Air. Like, the woman is out there smoking a cigarette. Yeah, I'm your flight attendant. No, I'm not going to do anything for you. Finishing this cigarette. Sit you. It's serious.
Before we get to headlines with Dan Day and Zach Gelb will be with us at 2:30, I do want to acknowledge that it wasn't all bad injury news for the Dolphins at training camp today. Julian Hill, while he did not have any pre-snap penalties during camp today, he did drop a wide-open touchdown for Tua Tagovailoa. So that's another positive report out of Dolphins camp today. And we have more stock up, stock down from Omar Kelly. We'll get to that later in the show as well. But Crowder, our guy Julian Hill, I mean, the gift that keeps on giving, huh? And it's and like I hate doing this. Like, it's training camp, like, big whoop, whatever. But when it becomes a thing where the guy can't stop making mistakes in actual games, and then you read that even now he's dropping dimes from Tua for touchdowns in training camp, just ready to be done with the Julian Hill era.
Bro, they're giving him all the chances in the world, too. The craziest thing is that they're a terrible lot. I'm sure there's fourth-string, fifth-string tight ends on the team nobody's ever heard of. But Julian Hill's been here for years. Never scored a touchdown. I guarantee he has the most penalties on the team in the last two or three years. All he does is jump off sides. I wonder if he can hear. I think his ears might not work and he didn't tell the Dolphins.
That was one of the best characters in The Replacements was the deaf tight end, and he was great.
He had to peek at the ball. Julian's not peeking at the ball.
Julian Hill definitely claps at the end of a movie.
Oh, yeah. No, he claps before the movie's over. He doesn't know when the movie ends. He's just bouncing around. You know what? And you know what I hate now, what they do, these Marvel, these cutesy movies? They make you stay after the movie ends because they're going to play that little crap. And my wife and kids have to tell me to sit down every single time. Because as soon as it goes to black, I stand up. Let's go. We've been here 2 hours. No, they're going to play a teaser. Then the big metal hand man grabbed the little boy. And then, yeah. So I was like,
That was a good post-credit. See, I'm okay with the mid-credits, post-credit scene. Or the mid-credit scene. I guess mid and post-credits are two different things. I'm okay with the mid-credit scene. Usually that actually matters. But then I stick around for another 10 minutes till we get through all the thank yous of the credits. And the last credit scene, spoiler alert for Fantastic Four, is just a cartoon clip that has no, like, from the original cartoon. Jimmy's giving me a look. Is that relevant to whatever's coming next?
I don't know. Mic's off. I don't know because I haven't seen the film.
Oh, very good. Well, you reacted like you had. Yeah, but I will say I am a little judgy of the folks that go to a Marvel movie or a superhero movie and get up right at the end and start walking out. I'm like, where are you guys going? This is your first time?
I know. But play it at the end. Like a little bumper. Like a little bumper. Maybe some music. Let the fireman buzz around and then play the scene. Make me sit through 5 minutes of credits and then let me see the metal hand man grab the baby. I have stuff to do. I'm a grown up.
Does the fireman buzz around?
He zooms around.
Okay, because I don't know if he buzzes. I don't know if what he does is a buzz.
That little Silver Surfer girl was super bad, though. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, she was. Crowder.
So what has she got on?
So I couldn't figure out who that was the entire movie, the actress who plays her. The entire movie. Had no idea who it was. I'm like, why can't I recognize who this is? And then they do the reveal, and I'm like, I took my hat off. I'm like, no way. You got to be kidding me. Good for her.
Good for her.
Amen. All right, we got to get the headlines here with Dan Day before Zach Gilb joins us in the next segment. So let's get our 2 o'clock hour headlines with Dan Day. Hello, Daniel.
Hello.
Can I call you Daniel? Are you okay with that?
Yeah, call me what you want.
Great.
It's all good. Headlines are brought to you by Doral Kia. Choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia. Sandy Alcantara threw 5 innings of shutout baseball, allowing only 3 hits, striking out 4 as the Marlins beat the Cardinals 5-0. The two play again today at 7:45, and the MLB trade deadline is tomorrow, 6 p.m.
We'll talk with Craig Mish later in the show on the 4 o'clock hour about the trade deadline. It was last night Sandy Alcantara's last start for the Marlins. If it was, what a stint.
Yeah, great run.
Yeah, only pitcher in Marlins history to win a Cy Young.
Yeah, he won a Cy Young. You can't be upset by that at all. Then to get the injuries. I hated with the injury because he was on a run and then
he had so many incredible moments of one since they're in St. Louis, there was one going around again last night from his Cy Young season. He was at like 115 pitches against the Cardinals. It was first and second, one out. They were protecting a one-run lead. Automatically comes out for a mound visit. Is he going to take him out? Is he going to leave him in? Sandy's like, no, I'm staying in the game. Next batter up, 6-4-3 double play, game over, Marlins win. Classic Sandy.
My son still tells a story. We walk in right in the first inning. Mookie Betts hit a home run off Sandy. And then Sandy went on to destroy the Dodgers for the next 5 innings that game.
I think I remember this.
Yeah, we walk in, yeah, and Mookie hit one early, and then it was just heat, and we had great seats, and my son still talked about it. This is 2 years. It might have been a Cy Young season. This is a while ago, but yeah, he just, and then, you know, oh, Homer, watch this. Man, we're sitting them boys down like they were bad kids at detention.
For a while, it seemed like if he wanted to go out and throw 8 shutout innings, he could just decide he was going to do that.
Yeah.
Reuben Bain Jr. has been named to the Bronco Nagurski Trophy Watch List. The award is given by the Football Writers Association of America for the top defensive player in college football. They held media day today for the Miami Hurricanes. Tomorrow they start practice.
Carson Beck, I'm really interested to see how that looks. I'm going to ask Zach Gelb about that, what he thinks of the Hurricanes coming up this season. I saw Cam Ward today called the Tennessee Titans offense mid. So it seems like it's going well for Cam so far over in Nashville.
I don't know if it's going to do any credit that first game against Notre Dame, because Notre Dame is loaded. I was watching something the other day. Notre Dame is a loaded team right now.
I mean, but at this point, Miami's got to consider themselves loaded too, right? If what Mario Cristobal has done in the portal, in recruiting, they've been selling us that this is, you know, we're what, year 3 of Mario, year 4 of Mario?
Yeah.
I mean, they should be able to stack up against a team like Notre Dame early in the season.
Litmus test. That's what people like to call it.
Love a week one litmus test. A lest.
That's nobody calls it a damn lest.
Well, now they do.
One more quick headline. Inter Miami prepare for League's Cup play tonight at 7:30 when they host Mexico's Atlas.
Yeah, tough day in the League's Cup for MLS last night. I think CF Montreal is the only MLS team that ended up earning a result
LAFC,
in the League's Cup.
LAFC,
hopefully, LAFC did as well. Yeah, so not great for MLS in the League's Cup. That's all from Dan. Yep. What about our weather? Do we have weather today? What's our weather?
We don't have weather anymore. We don't have it sponsored.
Oh.
So if it's not sponsored, well, do you
no one cares about
weather?
The weather.
Anyways. It's hot as hell.
It's hot outside that door.
Well said.
My sentiments exactly.
Brought to you by the sun. The sun sponsors it. And it's hot outside that door. Goodness gracious.
Well, we're all inside, and so is Zach Gelb. He'll join us next here on Hockman, Crowder, and Solana. Back after this.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
I have this fantasy. I've had this for years. of becoming obese and bedridden and just watching TV all day and having people bring me food.
Zach Gelb, he hosts the Zach Gelb Show, heard nationally on the Infinity Sports Network. He joins us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Gelb, thanks for doing this on a day that Hockman is out, a day that Solana is out. Although, I do feel like Solana out makes it a little easier for you to join the show.
Honestly, just having Crowder here without the other two knuckleheads, they said, do you still want to do it? And I said, absolutely. This will be my favorite appearance ever. And I know that Channing Crowder is wearing a Florida Marlins hat, which is a little old school now. And let me tell you, that Channing Crowder is a big, big fan of the Marlins in baseball, I hear. Big fan. Knows the whole team.
I love Stowers. Gus Bus, Stowers. I love my guys.
Yeah, you guys Bender. Just picked the wrong guy on the Marlins. You forget that Matt Mervis guy. Bum.
Homered again last night, by the way.
Yeah, in what, Triple A?
Uh-huh.
He's playing against 11-year-olds. Why do y'all keep talking about this Mervis guy?
Well, isn't it like a college football wide receiver this year who's like 40 years old or something like that?
Yeah, and he is a former Marlin, Monte Harrison. He was in the Christian Yelich trade. You think he's playing at Arkansas, yeah.
Yeah. Woo pig. Wonderful.
Crowder's got a whole list of questions for Craig Mish in the 4 o'clock hour about the Marlins on the trade deadline. Don't kid yourself, Gelb.
Yeah, don't ask me any of those questions because I don't care.
let's see if you still feel the same way you did at the beginning of this interview after I gave you my lasagna take later on. But I want to start with some national NFL storylines. And the big one from the last couple of days, it's someone that South Florida fans know well, Christian Wilkins. We thought the big layer to that story was just the injury issue and then Las Vegas waiving him and voiding that guaranteed money. Turns out there's a little bit more to the story. Christian Wilkins doing some Christian Wilkins things, I guess, in the locker room. And the story has been refuted by Mike Florio. Yeah, a little kiss on the forehead. I'd give Crowder a kiss on the forehead.
Or,
I appreciate it.
Or Channing. There was another report from that incarcerated Bob guy that he was tickling some toes. So who knows what is actually the truth there? Channing, I think you would agree with this. They wanted him to get the other surgery. He didn't want to. So then they didn't want to pay him. It's a new regime in here. So they're trying to find anything to try to void the guarantees in the contract. It's just when they found something, who would have thought we'd be sitting here and talking about Christian Wilkins allegedly kissing a teammate on the forehead or maybe tickling a teammate on the toes. Now, you could go back to when he was in college and he stuck his hand somewhere that it did not belong, up against Ohio State or up against the Bills, where if the backside wasn't good enough, he did it from the front side, allegedly, up against Josh Allen. And now you're in one of these situations where it's like, okay, this is interesting. Channing, you know locker rooms. Obviously, yeah. The players in the locker room know what happened. This has to inevitably, like, the truth really get out, because I feel like we have about 65% of the story. We're missing some of it as well.
Yes. I've said this too, Gil. The injury where you get the second opinion and the second opinion doesn't go with the team's opinion. So now you have two doctors that are telling you opposite evaluations. That is 1A, 1B, 1C, 2A. 2B would be if you start kissing people and tickling dudes' toes and all that stuff. Like, you're not getting cut from being weird, because it's weird stuff. But I also said, too, about the situation, you got to read the room, Gelb. You got to read the room. Like, the I don't know if people know what the crotch check is. When dudes are running, just pat the other guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pat the cup other check, guy and then the crotch.
Who among
cup
us?
Check.
Who among
the
us?
Little cup check thing. So, yeah. Cup check's a thing. But, yeah, but I knew I brought up the names of, like, Kevin Carter, Vonnie Holiday, and Keith Traylor my rookie year, where you don't cup check Tractor Traylor, because he's going to get mad and might stab you or shoot you if you hit him in his crotch. Mm-hmm. You got to know who you're playing with in those situations. So if Christian was going around doing – it's really the frat boy crap. That's not what gets you $32 million voided. You not having a surgery and now missing another season – is why somebody voids your contract.
So when are we getting Christian Wilkins on the pivot? When are we getting the super serious interview with Ryan Clark and Christian Wilkins is my question, CC.
Well, if I'm sitting down, you know it's not going to be that serious, because if he kissed me on my forehead, we're going to lock up too.
You would probably be like, hey, I need a foot massage. Can you tickle these toes?
I just, you know, I like good verbal banter. I'm not a gold touch me guy, you know.
Yeah.
Hawk, early in our showtime, Hawk touched my face for some reason. Mm. And I got pissed. And Hawk was like, oh no, I'm just joking around. I was like, man, don't touch my face. What the hell are you doing? I don't know if it's cultural or not, but you don't touch some another man's face.
You know what they should do? They should have Rex Ryan. ESPN should have Rex Ryan interview Christian Wilkins. That'd be good. That would be real good.
It almost sounds like a bad would you rather. Would you rather get your toes tickled or a kiss on the forehead from Christian Wilkins?
I actually think the kissing on the forehead is probably the lesser of the worst. The tickling of the toes is like really crossing a line. Well, if you just give a, you know, someone a little smooch in the forehead, I think it's more sarcastic and in jest. The tickling of the toes, you're going down a path there where, yeah, I would file an HR complaint. No doubt about it. I don't know. You give me a little smooch in the forehead, you know, I may smack you in the face, but I don't know if I'm filing an HR complaint. Tickling the toes, definitely.
Especially unwanted. I'm not sure if you've discussed this with the guys in any of your previous appearances, but we were talking in the last segment. Crowder had just brought up Stephon Diggs and the Patriots, and I said that I'm not still buying New England just yet. I know a lot of people are high on Drake May in year two. Obviously, Mike Vrabel brings some more stability to that team, but what do you see in the Patriots this year? Are they the second best team in the AFC East? Because I feel like I still got to see it to believe it.
I think they're either going to be 8 or 9 or 9 and 8, and I think that will put them in position to be the second best team in the AFC East. I'm not in on Miami this year. There's just too much going on already with the injuries that have suffered. But even before then, it feels like the Tyreek Hill situation is just a ticking time bomb. And even though he tried to put the toothpaste back in the tube, he'll be a petulant human being once again at some point this year when it's not going his way. And I still have the Jets as the fourth team in that division. The thing with the Patriots, it's like, do I think they're ready to take that next step? I would say no, even though they made improvements this past year. But you look at their schedule. I think like the only tough games are the two games against Buffalo. They play Cincinnati and they play the Ravens when you look at the entire docket. Now, I'm not saying all those other games are definitely going to win. They could just as easily as they win them could lose them. And they've struggled with Miami, ever since Brady has left. And even when Brady was there, they never won really in South Florida. But I look at the Pats, and with Vrabel being there, I think Vrabel will find a way to coach that team up into the second best team in the AFC East compared to a Mike McDaniels on the hot seat and Aaron Glenn, who's in year number one.
And the overall AFC, Gil, because we were looking at some gambling odds to win the AFC and actually to win the Super Bowl. And the Ravens and the Bills were ahead of Kansas City. Are we writing off Kansas City right now? Like, again, I don't see the I don't see the Ravens and the Bills just flat out being better than Kansas City.
So until someone takes out Kansas City in the AFC when it matters, how many more years are we going to do this where we sit there and we go, oh, they're vulnerable. They've been vulnerable the last few years. And the last 3 years, last time I checked, they've been to the last three Super Bowls and they've won 2 out of 3. So they could be vulnerable. And Lamar Jackson has to beat Allen. And they may not always play each other, but Lamar Jackson has struggled against Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes in the postseason. Josh Allen, it's just been a Patrick Mahomes problem, and he's played well in those games, but his team just dribbles down their leg in a big spot over and over again anytime those two teams are in a marquee game.
Gelb, I want to switch from football to baseball. Aside from the trade deadline tomorrow, the two biggest stories this week were, number one of the faces of the game, Bryce Harper, getting in the face of Rob Manfred in the Phillies clubhouse, telling him to F off. And number two, the second pitcher for the Cleveland Guardians being investigated for potential gambling violations, if you would call it that. What do you make, first off, of Bryce Harper and Rob Manfred and their confrontation? We had Kyle Seeloff, the Marlins television voice, on with us yesterday, and he thinks, number one, it doesn't bode well for the 2027 season and actually having one when it comes to CBA negotiations. And number two, he thinks it's a bit tone deaf from a guy like Bryce Harper, who's one of a handful of guys in the league that makes north of $400 million, where he's arguing on behalf of something that benefits that top 1% or less than 1% of the league, and is to the detriment of everybody else. So what do you make of that whole situation?
I love what Bryce Harper did, but I also kind of wish we could have, A, seen it, but then, two, if we were able to really see it, have him ask a question to Rob Manfred, which would be like, oh, you want to do a salary cap. Well, how about a salary floor for all those owners that basically just sit at the table with alligator arms and don't actually pay the players and run out these despicable products? Because I know Rob Manfred would just stumble through that answer because he is basically just working for the owners. But to try to hear him actually give an answer in front of the players and try to dance around the topic, I thought that would have been fascinating. I don't think there should be a salary cap in baseball, but if you're going to issue one, you need to issue a legitimate salary floor. And I would wonder how many owners would be open to that. I would gather that most of them would not. Now, as far as the gambling stuff, this is going to happen from time to time. I know some people say, oh, well, the leagues are in bed with all these gambling companies. So this way, like, hey, my job tells me there's some things I can't do that people are, that other people are allowed to do. The reality of the situation is you can't be a player betting on, your own sport and your games that you're in because it compromises the integrity of the game. So I will say, though, it's interesting how quickly Major League Baseball came out when you had that Ipe Mezuhara, Shohei Ohtani thing. Oh, Ohtani, we found nothing here. He's all good. He's cleared. But the first guy that got popped in this from the Guardians, we're still waiting on, and I'm sure we won't get any updates on Emmanuel Clase anytime soon.
In fairness, though, there was an entire federal investigation into...
I understand, but if my best friend was taking that money out of my bank account, and I know he's really rich and that money probably didn't matter, I'm not saying that Ohtani was definitely gambling, but to have that all quickly wrapped up that soon on Major League Baseball part, it's just peculiar to me is what I will say.
And back to the Bryce Harper thing and the salary cap and all that.
Channing, you ever bet on a football game, by the way, when you're playing?
No, but everybody I know has bet my unders. Yeah. They knew I wasn't going to do
that. I actually bet you're over on missed tackles.
Yeah, crowded 9.5. Yeah.
Hey, whatever tight end the Dolphins are going up with against that day, take the over receptions, over in yards.
Oh, 3.5 knee injuries during the game. He's going to go out 3.5 times. Yeah, I'll take the over.
But the whole thing we've been talking about the Bryce Harper thing kind of brought up that CBA type stuff. The parody of it, like, because now you're crippling the Steinbrenners, you're crippling the Mark Walter who owns the Dodgers. Like, is it like that? Everybody wants this parody with sports. I don't know if baseball needs parody. Do we need to even the teams out? Do we need the Tampa Bay Rays to have the same salary as the New York Yankees? I don't know if baseball is built that way.
No, and here's the thing: even if you do put in a salary cap, the Rays are going to come nowhere close to actually spending to the max. That's why I look at the floor and I'm saying, okay, if all these owners want to limit the spending and they want to cap the spending, well, then you guys actually have to spend a decent amount and not just get what you want, which is lowering the cost of the contracts and putting a cap on it. You also have to up that pay a little bit on the minimum that you have to spend to me. That's what I would say. And I know a lot of those owners are cheap, and even though they make a lot of money and they cried poverty during the pandemic, that's why I have zero sympathy for any of these guys. So I'm going to take the player's side here, and I'm team Bryce Harper on this one.
I don't know if you knew this, Gil. Sandy Alcantara makes $17 million a year. The next highest paid Marlin makes $4 million.
Oy.
There's guys on the Yankees that make $60 million. Like, it's crazy the difference in his MLB contracts team to team.
Yeah, it is definitely bonkers. And when you look at some of these markets, like, I forget the team that it's like their payroll is like $40 million. And it's like some of these players, right, in New York and LA, they make that in a season, you know? So it's just, it's wild.
Zach Gelb of Infinity Sports Network joining us now. We got a couple more before we let you go. Has Zach Gelb ever clapped at the end of a movie at the movie theater?
I don't think so. I don't really clap on airplanes or at the end of a movie. If I was at a play, yes. At a movie, I don't think so.
Right, because you're clapping at a screen and the actors don't hear you.
Yeah, I haven't thought about it that way, but I'm sure that's probably a thought process. Like, who is receiving, the praise that I'm giving?
Well, you are on the right side of history when it comes to clapping at the end of a movie. Yeah. We were debating that earlier. Jimmy said he was a huge clapper, and Solana claps and gives a standing ovation at the end of every movie he sees in the theater.
Appel also a big clapper. That's why he's going to have a kid coming up in a few months, right?
Hey, big Appel. He figured that thing out, Gelby.
He was like Shaq at the free throw line. Miss, miss, miss. Oh, I finally got one.
All you got to do is go 1 for 10, man.
Let me go Rick Barry underhand.
Hey, whatever gets the job done, you know?
That's my way of saying congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Mara in the other room over also heard that, and she says thank you too. I heard her say,
yeah, you can still practice now. Even when she's pregnant, you can practice.
She's gonna bring a sledgehammer to the next time I see a pal for dinner.
Last thing for you here. Yesterday was National Lasagna Day, and there's a warm.
I thought yesterday was National Chicken Wing Day.
There's both.
Oh,
it was both.
Wow, that is Zach Gelb's day, let me tell you.
With boneless wings and some plain buttered penne pasta. That would be my lasagna and chicken wing day. And from the looks of it.
Yeah, you're a little boy.
I mean.
Child. Chicken nuggets and buttered pasta.
It is indisputable that a piping hot bowl of plain penne pasta with butter is better than any lasagna anywhere.
That's the dumbest take I've ever heard.
Why?
Yeah, because it's just stupid. Like, it doesn't even deserve my response. You know what? I was out last night with my lady, and we were out with another couple, and it came up how I do lasagna on Thanksgiving instead of turkey. And the other couple's response at first was like, wait, what? And then they go, you know what? Turkey actually sucks. Lasagna is actually great. You guys do Thanksgiving right. And also, You little boy there, Josh Appel, with your dino nuggets, eat wings with a bone in them like a man and smother them with blue cheese, you child.
Oh,
you're about to be a parent. I don't care how you live the rest of your life. It's been embarrassing. You have a kid on the way. You need to set a good example. Lasagna and bone-in wings with blue cheese. Be a man.
We were joking that the when he's 2 years old, he's going to have a better palate than I do at 31, 32, 33. Yeah. So.
You know, have him come spend the weekend with Uncle Zach. That kid will come on back eating like escargot. All right?
Man.
Listen.
He eats Go-Gurts and applesauce and stuff. He is a child.
I can't wait to share a Go-Gurt with my child.
You know his son's name?
No.
Channing Appel.
And you are not the father.
If I keep saying it, then I'm gonna just put it in the back of his mind subconsciously.
It flows like Alejandro Appel, no, Mark Appel, yeah, a little bit, but Channing Appel, Jimmy Appel sounds decent, but Channing Appel, I think, has a different level of sophistication.
Yeah, I mean, as a president,
he's been lobbying hard, and it's certainly in the conversation of what we're going to name our child. So it's definitely it's definitely not outside of the top five. Put it that way.
Hey, talk to the wife and all, Gelby. I think I'm in there.
Yeah, I think you're good. I think you are good, Channing.
They had a great heart-to-heart at Funky Buddha last month about this very topic, and she seemed open to the idea, just shockingly.
It was open.
Oh, God.
Just saying that there is a story on the internet about Steve Nash and his family and his kid and an ex-teammate, you know?
All right.
Have a good one. I got to go do my show.
Go enjoy a plain bowl of buttered penne pasta. And tell me how it is next week. Zach Gelb, thanks so much for being with us. Back with more Hawk and Crowder and Solana after this.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
I like to officially go on record. I am wearing underwear today.